Continuing on Brother Robert's theme and the ecclesial guide of handling disputes and difficulties, today's class is just a continuation of going down that same path. And our consideration this morning will come from the ecclesial guide, section 41. So if anybody has the ecclesial guide, okay, well, I'm going to read it. So, okay, so again, section 41 of the ecclesial guide, which is entitled Involved in Another Ecclesia's Trouble. Brother Roberts writes, an ecclesia may be at peace in itself, but may get involved in the troubles of other ecclesias through an incorrect mode of action. The simple law of Christ to do to others as we would have done, as we would be done by, will greatly help us to take the right and wholesome course. Let us suppose then that some other ecclesia, so Brother Roberts is giving us an example here. Let us suppose then that some other ecclesia has withdrawn from a brother on grounds that have seemed just to the majority thereof. Is it right that the brother so withdrawn from should be received by you? You can settle this by considering, how would you like the said ecclesia to act towards a brother or sister you have withdrawn from? Should you like them to receive such? There is only one answer, no. This yields the general rule that no ecclesia ought to receive into fellowship a brother or sister that has been withdrawn from somewhere else, or from elsewhere. If you say, perhaps the brother or sister is unjustly withdrawn from, and such a case is possible, and the door ought not to be shut against the consideration of such a possibility, but there is a right way of dealing with such a supposition, and the simple rule of Christ aforesaid will again be an all-sufficient help. Should you not like your decision in the case of a brother withdrawn from to be held good until it is proved a wrong one? There is only one answer, yes. We ought, therefore, to respect the withdrawals of other ecclesias until we have proved them unjustifiable. But here again, we must be careful. There is a right way and a wrong way of trying such a case. Would you like the case of a brother you have withdrawn from to be tried behind your back? There is only one answer. You would not. Therefore, you ought not to hear the case of a brother who has been withdrawn from without the presence of those, either actually or by representation, who have withdrawn from him. If a withdrawn from brother comes to your ecclesia and alleges the injustice of the withdrawal, if you are disposed to listen to the case, your duty is, meanwhile withholding fellowship, your duty is to apprise the ecclesia that has withdrawn from him that he applies for your fellowship on the ground of that withdrawal being unjust, and that you wish to investigate the case concurrently with them. If the withdrawing ecclesia refuse to grant such an investigation, they place themselves in the wrong and justify you in examining the case for yourselves in their absence. But an enlightened ecclesia would not refuse. They would act on Christ's rule. They would do as they would like to be done by. If they were the withdrawn from but demurring brother, or the doubtful ecclesia applying for reexamination, they would like to have the opportunity of judging for themselves and would, therefore, grant that opportunity thus respectfully applied for. The result would tend to peace. The concurrent reexamination would either manifest the righteousness of the withdrawal or the uncertainty and perhaps unjustifiableness of it. In either case, the course is to be taken by the applying ecclesia Okay. In either case, the course to be taken by the applying ecclesia would be free from doubt. Can everybody get that? Oh, good. I guess we're done. No. certainly the underlying reasoning that Brother Roberts presents is very simple, but he phrases it in such a way that, in my mind, it gets a little confused. So the pervading wisdom that is recommended for being involved in another ecclesia's trouble is don't. Sometimes it can be difficult to remember that another brother or sister, or in this case, another ecclesia, knows just as well as we do ourselves how to handle certain situations. Because of this, a temptation can arise where we try to fix a problem that we may see elsewhere. And as mentioned in our last class on ecclesial differences, the desire to fix another ecclesia's problem involves making presumptions and, in effect, displaces God and Christ from the administration of their authority in the brotherhood. However, that doesn't mean that earnest brethren have no responsibility in situations of ecclesial difficulty or ecclesial error, meaning in another ecclesia, because that's our focus today. We have a general responsibility of being our brother's keeper. And whether in our ecclesia or not, the difficulties of our brethren should be a concern for us. We shouldn't just turn a blind eye and say, well, that's not me, I don't have to deal with it. Okay? If I'm asked, I'm not going to deal with it. We should maintain that spirit of helpful concern. But how far that concern is exercised, however, well, that's the intent of this section of the ecclesial guide. How far do we go? And what is the method that we take in caring for our brothers and sisters and being concerned with difficulties that are occurring elsewhere? So that's the first thing. Yes, we do have a responsibility to our brothers and sisters. And secondly, we have a duty to protect and preserve the spiritual atmosphere of our own ecclesia, because that our own ecclesia may become disrupted by difficulties or troubles in another ecclesia. So it's something we should also keep in mind. How is this going to affect our ecclesia? In what way do we need to be prepared should that trouble come to our doorstep, which is part of what Brother Roberts, the example that Brother Roberts uses, where a situation from one ecclesia shows up on the doorstep of another ecclesia. And this is the right way to go about it, is the explanation that Brother Roberts gives. So, in regard then to being our brother's keeper, again, the position that we as earnest brethren and sisters in the truth should take, whether individually, okay, or ecclesially, as members, is we should be, our attitude should be helpful concern. We should be concerned about it, but we shouldn't be concerned about righting the wrong. Okay, that's really not our business. We should be concerned about helping, if asked, and we'll get into that a little bit later. Again, if we become aware of a situation in another ecclesia that is affecting their spiritual welfare or disrupting the spirit of that ecclesia, then we should stand prepared to help if we are asked. That would be a very unusual circumstance indeed for one ecclesia to come to another ecclesia and say, "Can you help us out here?" Okay. But it's not unusual for brethren to speak together. For a brother from one ecclesia to speak to another a brother from another ecclesia and say, "We're going through this kind of a situation. What might your advice be?" And that's where we need to be. We should be aware of what's going on around us, and we should also be prepared to make some spiritual advice from the Word. Not personal, but spiritual and directly from the Word. I think that is a responsibility that we have. Because there is obviously sharing of information between brethren from different ecclesias. In that kind of a situation, where you may be asked, how would you handle this situation? Do you have any spiritual advice that might help? The utmost tact needs to be maintained. And confidences that are shared need to be protected. That's vitally important, because what we don't want is gossip. Okay, which in our own minds it may not seem to be gossip, because we may be sharing this with others and trying to bolster our own understanding of it. And that's fine if it's done in that way. But if it's like, hey, did you hear what's going on over here? Okay, that's betraying confidence. And that's something that we should never, never do. And also, again, any spiritual wisdom or anything that's shared with our brothers and sisters should come directly from the Word. That should be the guiding force. Personal bias toward individuals who may be involved in the problem should not be a factor in the discussion. In other words, if you have an axe to grind, don't grind it. Keep it to yourself. What does the Word say? What kind of assistance can I give to my brother who's asking me, even though he's not in my ecclesia, even though it's not my problem? We should be ready to have those discussions. And again, we should keep the personal issues out of it and just stick to what does the Scripture say? And by doing that, that allows God and Christ to have their authority and to give their direction in the matter. So it's not me speaking, it's what does the Word say. So, and again, that's in regards to being our brother's keeper. The second responsibility, again, that we have when troubled, and this really applies more to doctrinal issues than behavioral issues, but we should be concerned when these kind of doctrinal issues arise in other ecclesias, because we need to be prepared, again, should that be brought home to our ecclesia. And that can happen through those kind of intimate discussions that I was just talking about. One brother will ask another brother, and now that brother comes back to his home ecclesia and starts a conversation. Okay? So that's how these things kind of spread. It's not only in magazines and in emails and letters sent around, just in personal conversations. We can actually bring that virus, if you will, into our body. We need to be very, very careful about that. And as brethren of the ecclesia where that trouble comes in, should it come in, we need to be prepared. We definitely need to be prepared. So we do need to be aware of what's going on around us in the ecclesias around where we live and the ecclesias where we interact with on a normal basis. We may not be involved. We may not know here of everything. That's not the point. Okay, we don't need to be involved in every little behavioral problem or conflict that ecclesia is having, but if there's a bigger issue, especially concerning doctrine, then we should be aware of it to the best of our ability. And how does that happen? How does it happen in an ecclesia? How do we know that a brother or sister is having trouble? You talk to them. Very simple, right? We interact like a family. That's the way we should be. So when we're visiting another ecclesia, we have opportunity to speak with brethren who are, you know, we're visiting, we're friendly with, and, you know, we should feel comfortable enough to be able to share information, okay, in an unbiased way, which is very, very difficult because we're human nature, we're flesh, aren't we? And that personal bias has a tendency to creep in and color the things that we say and the way that we express things. So again, the preparation that we need to have in handling issues that might come to our doorstep, well, the first thing is being aware of what's going on around us. The second thing is having an understanding of the issue in light of Scripture. And so if there's a doctrinal issue, we should be studying and we're aware of it. We should be personally studying up on it as brethren. Okay? And that doesn't fall just to the ABs. Maybe the greater portion of that responsibility is on the shoulders of the ABs. Certainly it is. But as brethren and sisters, we should be, if we're aware of something, we should, well, this is an issue, and we can study up on it and be prepared scripturally. Because that's where our best protection is going to come from, and also our best advice to other brothers and sisters. If we're aware of the issue and we approach it from a scriptural standpoint, it's going to eliminate those personal issues, those personal biases, and stick strictly to what does the scripture say. Again, giving Christ and God the authority in directing the matter. And also, so we have being aware, and then we have understanding the issue in light of scripture, and then just being willing to make the kind of commitment of time and effort to that issue, to be ready. It's easy to say, well, yeah, this is going on, but it's not my problem, and I don't really want to think about it. I don't really want to have to deal with it. But if we're concerned with our brothers and sisters there and concerned with the welfare, the spiritual welfare, and the atmosphere of our own ecclesia, then we should give the time and energy to prepare against that error should it show up at our doorstep. This was the intent of the classes that we had and the ecclesial commitment that we made in regard to the UA08 situation. The time and energy that was put into that effort was solely for the education, okay, in the matter, in the spiritual issues that were being challenged by that situation. And it was those classes were presented as an effort to prepare us should that error or that problem encroach into our neck of the woods. The intention was never to try and fix the problem where the other ecclesias are involved. Rather, consider the matter from Scripture first, and then secondly, form a fellowship position. So, again, we make an ecclesial decision and a responsible position on that matter. We're prepared should it come our way. So that approach preserves our ecclesial spiritual atmosphere as well as enforcing our own fellowship position in the matter, again, being based on Scripture and not what I might personally think or you. So in the section of the ecclesial guide that I just read, section 41, Brother Roberts provides us with an example of how an ecclesia may be drawn into a situation where a problem experienced by one ecclesia becomes a problem of a second ecclesia by the actions of one individual. The wisdom of Brother Roberts, no doubt, in dealing with difficult situations like this, is from what he faced in those years where ecclesial life was being formulated. Okay, if we're aware of our own history as a community, we can understand that in the time in which Brother Thomas, or towards the end of Brother Thomas, and certainly the time that Brother Roberts was involved in it, and beyond that, there were some pretty big issues that they had to work through. And Brother Roberts, as a leader in the community, really had to keep this perspective. And I think that's where the wisdom of Brother Roberts is expressed to us in his writings, is the fact that he kept this at the forefront of his mind and tried not to get involved on a personal basis. So the recommendations that he gives comes from the situations that he faced, the experience that he had, and the wisdom that he learned, and how to deal with situations like that. So I don't think he's just speaking off the cuff here. Okay. Brother Roberts cites the simple law of Christ as being the guide for the course in these kinds of matters. Of course, he's referring to Matthew 7, verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. Now, careful reading will show us that this verse is not to be a maxim in itself, okay, in and of itself, as it is often used. It's often used, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Okay? Well, we notice in verse 12, or we should, being careful readers, that the Lord begins the sentence with the word therefore. Okay, so that this phrase, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, as it is properly rendered, does not stand on its own. It's a conclusion of the thoughts that have gone before. It's a concluding thought. And the context always improves our understanding of what the Lord is trying to teach us. Even in a simple statement like this, because we can read that and we can understand it as standing on its own, and then we can apply it in whatever fashion we feel is appropriate. Okay, because it stands on its own. But when we understand the therefore part, then we have to take into consideration the context. And it's the context that is really going to educate us on what the Lord Jesus Christ was talking about. So what is the point that the Lord is making in the context? The one point, one aspect of it is don't be judgmental. And that's an important aspect of relationships within an ecclesia and also our relationship with brothers and sisters in other ecclesias. Don't be judgmental, because Luke adds to what we read in Matthew 7, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Okay? Don't be judgmental. Also, if someone asks or seeks something, give it to him. Don't give him evil when he's seeking good. Now, if you think about Matthew 7, I see Josh has got his Bible open, I believe. Doesn't look like he's at Matthew 7. Maybe he has. Okay. But the idea is, if your son asks a fish, you don't give him a
serpent.
If he asks for bread, you don't give him a stone. Right? So if someone is seeking good, give them good. Don't give them evil. So, do we want others to forgive us for our failings? Then don't be judgmental. Do we want others to help us when we're in need? Then we must be good and helpful to others. That's a context of where whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. In the context of don't be judging, be helpful, be good, be honest. Right? The idea of giving the bread is kind of sneaky. It's kind of, or giving the stone is kind of deceitful. Right? Okay, so how does this apply then to our subject this morning? It's these thoughts are what form the mindset going into ecclesial difficulties that Brother Roberts is advocating. It should be obvious that in dealing with our situations with our brothers and sisters, going into these situations, that we must be circumspect. Okay? We cannot condemn those who don't agree with us. The idea of circumspect is being open, careful, thoughtful. Because the opposite of that is, oh, I already know what the problem here is. It's you're doing this. Okay? That's not being circumspect. That's being judgmental. That's not helpful in this kind of situation. This is the mindset. This is why Brother Roberts brings that out. And he mentions it a couple of times in that section. The simple law of Christ. As you would have them do to you, do to them. Don't be judgmental. You want to be forgiven? Forgive. You want good things? Give good things. Don't be deceitful. Don't be dishonest. Don't give evil when you can give good. So we cannot condemn those who simply don't agree with us. We must be open and willing to converse. Listen to the sides. Listen to the statements that are made, the positions that are taken, and then open the Bible and see if it's accurate, see if it's appropriate. And let Scripture be the guide. concerning being good to one another, it's understood that we must look not only on our own interests, but also to the interests of others. That's Philippians 2. I think we did that last week in class. That was part of our class. Reading it from the RSV. It's too easy at times, especially in times of difficulty, to be judgmental in our attitude and to return evil for evil. Okay? In other words, somebody does something bad to me, well, I'm not going to do good to them. You know, I'm going to return evil for evil. That's very easy in times of difficulty. And this is, again, the context of what the Lord presents us in Matthew chapter 7, and the idea of Brother Roberts bringing it into this section is this is not the kind of attitude that we should have in regards to difficulty, whether it be, again, in our own ecclesia or dealing with brothers and sisters in other ecclesias. So the example that Brother Roberts gives us is a case where an individual is withdrawn from by one ecclesia and then later applies for reinstatement in a different ecclesia. Now, generally, we understand that a person in that position, an individual in that position who has been withdrawn from, should seek reinstatement from the ecclesia who withdrew their fellowship from them, because that ecclesia will have firsthand understanding and they will have been involved, God willing, spiritually and scripturally in that cause for withdrawal. We do have reference to this in our Constitution. In section 68 of our Constitution, it says, "No brother or sister out of fellowship with another ecclesia shall be received in fellowship until the cause shall have been investigated by the arranging brethren. The arranging brethren decide to propose reinstatement, a special meeting of the ecclesia will be called, where a final decision must be reached by a majority of the ecclesia." So in regards to the example that Brother Roberts gives us in section 41, we do have section 68 in our Constitution regarding someone who is out of fellowship with another ecclesia, and how do we handle it as the second ecclesia. And it must be assumed, even though it's not outlined in the Constitution, that following the guidelines concerning this kind of situation that is provided by Brother Roberts will be followed by the ABs. There, in other words, Brother Roberts presents, if this is the case, then this is how the ecclesia should deal with it. And basically, the ecclesia should not decide on its own. The second ecclesia, okay, to whom the individual has come, should not decide the matter on their own, but they should reach out to the first ecclesia. That's very, 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 very important, and I think that is implied in our Constitution where it says investigated by the arranging brethren. Okay, the situation needs to be investigated before any decision can be made. Okay, this is what Brother Roberts wrote. "Therefore, you ought not to hear the case of a brother who has been withdrawn from without the presence of those, either actually or by representation, who have withdrawn from him. If a withdrawn from brother comes to your ecclesia and alleges the injustice of the withdrawal or claims to have repented," I think that is probably applicable in this situation as well. It's not just, well, they withdrew from me, or they disfellowshipped me unjustly. That's not the only issue. But even if a brother or sister says, well, this is why I'm seeking reinstatement, I understand why I was disfellowshipped, but now I've changed my ways, but they don't feel comfortable in returning to that first ecclesia, well, the second ecclesia has the same responsibilities as they would if the brother said, no, they did it all wrong. The matter needs to be looked into. It needs to be investigated. Okay. I get ahead of my own notes. Imagine that. A person seeking reinstatement the cause might be a perceived injustice, as Brother Roberts' example, or could be the individual again has repented and seeking to return to the table of the Lord. Now, his application to the second ecclesia should not be ignored. Okay, he shouldn't be received. Well, that's not our problem. Go deal with it somewhere else. Okay? That should not be the position taken. The position taken would be, well, we'll take this into consideration and we'll investigate the matter. So it shouldn't be ignored and it shouldn't be rejected. Simply because that ecclesia is not the one who withdraw fellowship from in the first place. The spirit of Christ's rule has to be the guidance for each ecclesia in this situation. If the spirit of Christ's rule, which is brought out in the example given by Brother Roberts, is followed, this allows the first ecclesia, okay, to be their intentions, their decisions, their scriptural position, it allows that to be taken into consideration in this particular case. So the brother comes, he says, this is where we're at. The new ecclesia, the second ecclesia, contacts the first ecclesia and says, what's the story? And they say, okay, this is where we are. This is the discussion that was made. This is our scripture. And then the second ecclesia takes all that into consideration along with what the brother is telling them, or the sister, the individual. So it allows for the first ecclesia to have input, but it also allows the second ecclesia to be exercised in the matter that's brought to that ecclesia. In other words, just because a brother is taken out of fellowship or disfellowship, withdrawn from in one ecclesia, doesn't mean the second ecclesia cannot take it into consideration. We have a responsibility to do that, and we have the freedom to do that. So Brother Roberts applies the rule to both ecclesias. How would you like the said ecclesia to act towards a brother or sister you have withdrawn from? Should you like them to receive such? There's only one answer, no. So the second ecclesia must take into consideration the deliberations and the decision that was already made by the first ecclesia before tackling the problem themselves. And this is achieved, again, by direct communication with the first ecclesia. What are the facts? What were the discussions? Okay. What was the situation that the conclusion was withdrawal? What are all the facts? So this removes any suspicion of things being done behind the back of the first ecclesia. Okay. In other words, if someone was brought into fellowship and you never even knew about it, you say, well, you know, shouldn't we have been involved in that? This is kind of sneaky. So contacting the first ecclesia is very, very important. And Brother Robert's counsel for the first ecclesia attitude towards the second ecclesia, it's actually in the next section of the ecclesial guide, which I guess would be 42. And Brother Bob is going to cover that section. So I'm only going to quote this section. I'm not going to go into any detail. I'm not going to step on any toes, okay? So in the next section, Brother Roberts comments on the example that he's given us an example in 41. He considers the idea in section 42. Within those comments, he writes that the second ecclesia is bound to investigate the facts concerning the individual who is seeking reinstatement. Uh-oh. I hear music. All right, so the second ecclesia is bound to investigate. I'm sorry, my train got derailed there.
The example in 42.
Right. So he states that the second ecclesia is bound to investigate, and this is a result of that. I'm going to quote Brother Roberts here rather than mumbling through it. He says, the other, meaning the first ecclesia, would make a mistake if it considered such a procedure, the investigation of the matter by the second ecclesia, they would make a mistake if they considered that procedure to be an infringement of its independence. Such a view would, in reality, be a trampling of the independence of every assembly, for it would then amount to this, that no assembly had the right to judge a case coming before them if that case happened to have already been educated? How's that word? No. Adjudicated, thank you. It's got the long U in it. Okay, if that case happened to have already been adjudicated upon by another ecclesia. The judgment of one would thus be set up as a rule for all. So we can understand the point then that Brother Roberts is making there. The first ecclesia's decisions and deliberations need to be part of the discussion with the individual who's seeking reinstatement, but that doesn't mean that the second ecclesia has to come to the same conclusion as the first ecclesia came to. The second ecclesia is free to make its own decision, because if they were not, then that means the first ecclesia is setting up the decision, the standard by which all of the rest of the brotherhood has to be abide. Okay, Brother Robert says that is wrong. Okay. So not only do they have the duty to investigate, they have the freedom, based upon that investigation, to make their own decision. They must be free to decide for themselves, because now they've been educated in the matter, and they've approached it from their own spiritual, scriptural understanding, and then they make their decision. And it may be different than what was reached, the conclusion that was reached by the first ecclesia. It may be the same, or it may be somewhat different. The example that Brother... Oh, okay. I thought somebody had a question. This is an open class, by the way, even though I'm just standing up here talking. The example fits section 40, the title of section 41, in an interesting way. Because being involved in another ecclesia's trouble, that's the title there. So the second ecclesia has become involved in another ecclesia's trouble or problem by the individual who's seeking a reinstatement from them, through them. So in other words, the second ecclesia is sitting there, everything's peaceful, everything's happy, and this individual comes and says, I would like to be reinstated. Now they're involved in the problem that had occurred in that first ecclesia. The first ecclesia has become involved in the second ecclesia's trouble or problem because of the individual that they withdrew fellowship from is now seeking reinstatement in the second ecclesia. So they've made their deliberations, they've made their position, they've made the decision, and now, and it seems to be in the past, and it could be months, years, decades, now all of a sudden the problem occurs in this second ecclesia over here. Well, now we're involved in that ecclesia. We're involved in their deliberations. Okay, so as they need to be circumspect and careful in considering the deliberations and decisions made by the first ecclesia, so the first ecclesia must be careful in the way that they present their decisions and deliberations to the second ecclesia in a manner that will allow them to make their own decision. Okay, so they can't say, well, you know, here it is, and it's pretty obvious the decision you're going to come to. It can't be done that way. That's what we, well, here's the original problem. Here's how we dealt with it ecclesially. Here's the scripture that we applied. That's the information. They have the other individual to hear the other side of the story. And it's up to that second ecclesia then to make that. So the second becomes involved in the first ecclesia's original withdrawal. The first ecclesia becomes involved in the second ecclesia's application for reinstatement. I think it's a pretty good example that Brother Roberts gives us, the idea of being... I mean, there's probably 100 different ways that we could become involved in other ecclesia's problems, but this one seems to be pretty encompassing. And again, and this is a hard part too, is that should the second ecclesia arrive at a decision separate or different from the first ecclesia, this cannot become a fellowship. We cannot say, I'm not going to fellowship you. We may not fellowship that individual, but we cannot condemn that whole ecclesia for coming to their own decision. And that's going to come up in the next section of that's brother part of Brother Robert's point in section 42 is that, you know, we can't split because of this. Okay, your position with that individual may and probably will remain the same, okay, but you cannot say, well, you guys are really wrong in this. It needs to be handled quite a bit different than that. So the application of the spirit of the rule of Christ Matthew chapter 7 will be manifest in the aftermath. So the simple rule of do unto others as you would have them do unto you is part of the process as it's being worked out. It's that end, and specifically the end that I alluded to, where they may come to a different decision than we have. That's when it's really easy to become judgmental. Should the two ecclesias arise or arrive at different opposite conclusions, temptation would then to create a whole new issue about the difference of judgment between the two ecclesias. And that's not right. And again, that's part of the next section, so I won't go any further into that. So the main intent of what Brother Roberts wrote in this section is that we need to be sensitive to the positions and the understandings of our brothers and sisters in matters of inter-ecclesial relations. That's obviously important in our inter-ecclesial relations too. We need to be sensitive, okay, to the situations and the needs and the mindset of our brothers and sisters within the ecclesia. We should be aware, we should be sensitive to that. Well, that gets extended to other ecclesias as well. We need to be circumspect. We need to be aware, we need to be circumspect, and we need to be spiritually and scripturally conscious at all times in the way that those relationships are worked out. We are not free to interfere on any level. We're not free to condemn another ecclesia for the way that they apply Scripture. We are not free to ignore the counsel or the communications from other ecclesias, acting like we operate in a vacuum. We should not stir up trouble in other ecclesias, and we should not be cynical in our relations to any of our brethren, whether in the ecclesia, our ecclesia, or in the brotherhood at large. Cynicism really doesn't have a place in the truth. That's a humanistic perspective of things. Okay? That isn't what Christ teaches us. And we should be open-minded. We should be, again, circumspect. We should take a number of things into consideration and not come into any sort of a situation already having, oh, this is the situation. This is why Roger's doing that. I know exactly why he's doing it. Okay? I'm going to pick on you because you're by yourself. Okay? And so that's being cynical. I know Roger. I know what he's like. Okay? That's wrong. All right, we should deal with each other as individuals. We need to be aware of our personalities and such, and the way that our brethren think. We should take that into consideration, obviously. But being cynical in my mind is coming into a situation you've already got it all figured out, and you've already put the person, this person's wrong. They don't agree with me, and obviously I'm right. So they must be wrong. That to me is in the truth is being very cynical. And we shouldn't be that way in our ecclesia or with brethren and sisters in other ecclesias. Because these things are simply detrimental and not constructive. To come into a situation like that, prejudging, okay, returning evil for evil, those things are detrimental. It's far more harmful than it is helpful. And we're instructed to be helpful. If we want to be helped, we should be helpful. If we want to be treated well, we should treat others well. We want to be forgiven, we should forgive. That's the spirit of Matthew 7, verse 12. And we should also always keep in mind the counsel, Paul's counsel in Galatians 6, as we have therefore opportunity. That's what we're talking about. A number of opportunities arise in ecclesial life. As we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, but especially unto those who are of the household of faith. And we have 4 minutes for questions, or counters, or debates. Roger?
So the problem in the brotherhood and present age, where all the things that are being compounded in all the different equations, different situations, and it may have been a person that was part of, let's say, our career, a lot of times,
Right.
But nowadays, it seems to a lot of people are not using the scripture as one of the seven quite looking at it, or being politically correct.
Right. The ecclesia, to some degree, is always affected by the society in which it lives. And we live in a very permissive society. And the effect of that is probably a different view of the same scripture. You know, in other words, well, we have to take this into consideration. Okay? But as we talked about in the last class on ecclesial differences, is that we need to understand the difference between a fundamental principle and a uncertain detail. There are things that are obviously fundamental, and I think we talked about that last week too. How do you know what a fundamental fundamental principle is? You know, do you go just by the BASF? Well, no, you go by the Bible, of course. But being individuals, we read things differently. We also put emphasis on certain things. And I think probably the one of the rules that we need to keep in mind is this going to affect someone's eternal salvation? You know? There's a big difference between Abraham being promised the land in Genesis 13 and where he stood when he was promised that land. You know, he's between Bethel and Hai, right? Okay? When he said to Lot, okay, we have to separate. And God says, I'm going to promise you all the land. Well, God's promising the land, that's a fundamental principle. But where he stood, that's just a detail. And Brother Roberts did a booklet on that, True Principles and Uncertain Details. And he gives a number of different examples of that. And he says, and his counsel is, we shouldn't get caught up in making something that's important to me, but is only an uncertain detail, into a fundamental principle on which is going to affect my relationship with you. You know, but what happens is through the course of time, and you know, we like to think that the ecclesia is going to maintain a certain level of appropriate scriptural application, but because we are creatures of this world, those things change. I mean, the perspective of matters has changed from Brother Robert's time to our time. And so the brothers and sisters in another ecclesia will look at that brother that we may have withdrawn from and say, oh, no, that's okay. That's the way we understand it. It's okay. Okay? And Brother Robert's counsel in the next section is, well, that's fine. So you're going to deal with that brother the same way you have, according to your understanding, but you'll have to allow those other brothers and sisters to deal with it according to their understanding. And that's difficult because we want to make a stand for the truth. And just to throw a monkey wrench into that, I mean, I agree with that general premise, but the monkey wrench that gets thrown in there is your perspective of right may not be right.
Right.
You know, so you're going to make a stand for something and withdraw yourself, right, from an issue that may not be a true issue. And I think Brother Robert's counsel in that is to, again, I hate to overuse a word, but is to be circumspect. You know, and that's tricky because we, as humans, we tend to go into things with preconceived ideas, and my way obviously is better than your way. Otherwise, you'll be doing what I'm doing, right? So, exactly. So that's definitely part of the difficulty. But we have to remember that we all have to work together, and I'm not in this for me. Dave's not in it for him. Roger's not in it for him. Sister Renee, we're not in it for ourselves, are we? We should be in it for the glory of God. So we need to work together as a body, not tearing each other apart over things that are not fundamental principles, so that we can get on with the work of preaching the word and saving lives, which is our commission from Christ. We need to keep that big picture in mind. And I think that's an exhortation to us in these days, and I'm going to use this for my little soapbox here, but that we need to be involved in the things of preaching the word, because when we're not, we're looking at each other and picking each other apart, which is very, very unhealthy. Okay? That's when the thus saith Steve gets elevated to something far more important than it should be. Okay? Because my head should be in the fundamental things of the truth, because I'm trying to save lives. You know? So, because we're all in it together. What's that?
Like you said, your exhortation, my means to do the will of God.
Right.
And that's what we need. Our will is to save lives.
Right.
God's
will is through us, and that's the commission that we've been given. You know, I mean, yes, we need to be valiant for the things of the truth. Absolutely. Otherwise, the effect of the society around us will dilute the truth to churchology or churchism or whatever you want to call it, and that's something that we need to be on guard against, certainly.
Yeah.
But we don't want to be tearing each other apart in order to make that effect.
Right. And your point about the judge not with what judgment you judge, you know, like you said, you want to be helpful. Well, being apathetic isn't helpful.
No.
You know, doing what's difficult. I want Brother Steve to help me. Tell me what I'm doing wrong, and I can't think that I have a motive on that. I need to do that for Brother Steve in the right way.
Right.
You know, and that's the whole point. What judgment if you're judged, you will be judged. So mm-hmm. I want to be judged, because if you judge yourself now, you know, it won't be so bad.
Right.
So you want help, but that doesn't mean apathy and tolerance.
Right. Tolerance is not being helpful, and you know, the spirit of Matthew 7, that section is not only don't be judgmental, but be good, be honest with each other, okay? And because that's going to promote a certain relationship, okay, where it shouldn't be, well, okay, I want Josh, we're picking on each other, I want Josh to do this for me, so therefore I will do this for him. That's not the right spirit. It's like we shouldn't be here because we want God to give us something. We should be here because we want to manifest God. We want God's will to be done on this earth now, as it will be in the future. That's what should motivate us. It's not if I do this for God, he's going to give me this. And that's great. We shouldn't be motivated by those kinds of thoughts. We should be motivated by it's God's will that this earth be filled with his glory. I want to be a positive part of that, not a negative part of that. And so in our relationships with one another, that's the thing. We shouldn't go into, well, if I scratch your back, you'll scratch mine. That's not the right spirit. But if I help you, you'll help me. You know, because that's actually more humble, isn't it? I realize I have a problem. If I help you with your problems, you'll help me with my problems. Not if I give you something good, you'll give me something good. Right. Yep.
That's why we recall that be here and for God.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. I mean, that's the whole principle of the table, isn't it? You know, our wants, our desires, our flesh is to be cut off, is to be put to death, so that the glory of God can be expressed through our lives. Not about me. It's not about me getting up and talking to a seminar to someone. It's about someone hearing the word of God and responding to that. I'm just a tool. You know, that's the way we should. And the fact of the matter is, the ecclesia is a tool shed. Okay, and some tools God can use, and some tools are still being developed. Okay, but you're not all sledgehammers. Some are shovels, some are hammers, some are picks, some are rakes, and we should all work together, finding our place.
No, I was just thinking. No, it's in the current society, in part. But I'm sure that
right.
Every society has said, no.
Oh, sure. So absolutely. Absolutely.
So much nowadays, so much of the law, which would be wrong, but really, to say, you know, the
Right. The challenges that they faced in Brother Robert's time was working out what is a collegial life. It's stuff we take it for granted now. If this is a situation, this is how you deal with it. They were working that out. And that would have been a great challenge. And keep in mind, too, that we have generations of brethren who have grown up in the truth. They didn't have that. They had people coming from St. Matthew's and St. Lawrence and things like that, and trying to take out that old churchism, get it out of the brethren. And you know, it's kind of like taking Egypt out of the Israelites. You know, that was the process, wasn't it? It was one thing to take Israel out of Egypt, but to get Egypt out of the Israelites was a much larger process. And they had those difficulties in that time. It's very interesting to read the history and the letters in the old Christadelphians about the way they, you know, and the thing of it is, the brethren on both sides are coming from positions of Scripture. And that's some of the interesting things to learn, but it's also the challenge, because we have to find a way to work these things out. Right, and science too is really kind of just getting off the ground, right? Yeah. I'm done.